first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is that time again. It is the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. We thank you again for joining us. It is showtime. It is Tuesday, December 16th. And got a lot of stuff to cover. Got a lot of stuff even on the Freedom Calendar over at freedomcalendar.com. We see that this week, the big one is today is the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. Yes, it is true. It was 241 years ago today, if you can believe it, folks. 241 years ago today, the Boston Tea Party. A few years later on, we have this week is the Bill of Rights being ratified. This week in 1791, we had the mentioning rights. We had the Wright brothers and the first air fight, first air flight, easy for me to say, this week in 1903. Way back in 1776, since we're sticking with the founding fathers, Thomas Paine's The American Crisis this week in 1776. And can you believe it was 16 years ago this week that Bill Clinton, good old William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, was impeached. So that is the Freedom Calendar for this week. And it is Tuesday, December 16th. Got a lot of stuff to cover, We don't really talk about Hollywood and the media very much as far as entertainment goes. But there is a great movie that is showing nationwide right now. Big surprise, the mainstream media won't tell you about this movie. But the movie is called Citizen Four. It is a documentary. Many of you all in the audience may have already heard of it. Many of you may have already seen it, and that's great if you have. But for those who haven't, I want to talk to you a little bit about it. I went and saw it last Saturday night. And for those who want to call in, as always, the number is 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326. If you're already on the phone and you want to talk to us, just press the 1 key and we'll get you right in. Now that out of the way, we go back to Citizen 4. Citizen 4 is the highly heralded documentary put out by Laura Poitras. It is about the covert surveillance programs run by the NSA and other intelligence agencies, focusing on Ed Snowden and reporter Glenn Greenwald mostly, but also including Julian Assange and Jacob Applebaum. And this is here in Louisville. It's an exclusive new release showing at the Village Aid Theaters in Louisville. And that is the only theater in Kentucky that will see the film. Saw it last Saturday afternoon there, and it was excellent. And I think that it should be viewed by everybody. I mean, they tell you a lot of stuff in this movie about the software out there that will collect your mobile phone location data, metadata, will access your phone's microphone to eavesdrop on nearby conversations. Got a few more cities that had the movie open up this past week. It opened up again in Burlington, Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, Hilton Head, Ithaca, Santa Barbara, Sarasota, Spokane, St. Paul, and more this week. And I think that Glenn Greenwald put out a book that deserves a lot of attention. The fact is that it is on few best of the year lists, but it speaks volumes about the state of America today. That and the torture report. I'll get me started on Dick Cheney. How better named can you be than Dick Cheney and how he feels about torture? But the movie Citizen 4 starts out with then unknown, mostly unknown Ed Snowden contacting the member of the media saying that, "I hope you understand that contacting you is extremely high risk. And that the surveillance you experience means you've been selected." making people feel special and paranoid, I know, but see, we are in the hands of a system whose reach is unlimited, but whose safeguards are not. That's why everybody needs to go watch Citizen 4. It will be the best movie that you see this year. It talks to you about the cell phone companies being used in secret U.S. spy programs. It talks about, as Jacob Applebaum says, surveillance making you say yes when your conscience says no. It is an awesome movie. It's well-paced. It's super informative. And I do think everybody should buy the book No Place to Hide by Glenn Greenwald. He did a very good book about that. I'm also a good guy. Julian Lassonde makes an appearance in this movie. The New York Film Critics Circle called it the best nonfiction film of this year. And I think that we all need to thank Ed Snowden for his sacrifice and for being one of the heroic Americans in history. He is originally from North Carolina. He came from a military family. And I just want folks to know there are a lot of us who haven't forgot about him. It'd be great if he could come back home to the United States safely. If he still wanted to come back to the United States, that is. How many people this past month in Thanksgiving gave thanks to what Ed Snowden had done? How many of you are using USB keyboards right now? How many of you know that there's a family of USB-based hardware implants that will provide government agents a wireless bridge into your network? And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that wireless keyboards are any safer. But hardware implants are everywhere. This is a 21st century black bag job, so to speak. I guess if we really wanted to and we really wanted to make the effort, we could do a PS2 to USB converter, but most all keyboards are USB. Just things to think about as you go watch Citizen 4, because you'll come out of this movie and you'll go out into the rush hour of the city that you live in, and you'll look around and wonder how many people really know what the hell is going on. How many people were glad that they went and paid cash to see this movie? Benjamin Franklin told us, and I've said it here before, so if you heard it, please bear with me. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither. See, the truth is out there, Mulder, but the truth is encrypted. What if the spyware that ships out there with all Windows programs simply spied on all these privacy tools and reported the keystrokes and screen grabs and reported it to the NSA? It's not that far-fetched, folks. Ed Snowden exposed Microsoft as having built-in backdoors to the NSA Gestapo. And yes, they would have to log all the users all the time in order to do that. It's not a matter of if they're doing it, but they have the ability to do it. The back doors are there. So I do love this movie, and I think everybody needs to go out and watch this movie. He talks a lot about PRISM, the NSA system launched back in 2007 that currently accounts for 91% of the NSA's internet traffic acquired under the FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. PRISM is the 21st century equivalent of the 19th century panopticon. It's like Bentham meets Kafka meets Orwell meets Asimov. Remember, folks, the Information Awareness Office, the IAO, was established by the DARPA, DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, in January of 2002 to bring together several DARPA projects focused on applying surveillance and information technology to track and monitor terrorists and other asymmetric threats to, quote, U.S. national security by achieving total information awareness. What's with all the pyramid symbolism, folks? So everybody needs to get out and see this movie. Yes, I'm giving it a lot of free airtime, and it deserves it. Citizen 4. Put out by Laura Poitras. You can watch about Ed Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and Julian Assange and Jacob Acklebaum. So that was the first piece that I wanted to cover this evening. Second piece I want to cover this evening is a story that we were talking about years ago. If anybody has ever heard the term Liberty Dollar, or if anybody has ever heard the name Bernard von Nothaus. For those who haven't heard the backstory, I will give it to you here because it's very, very important. You see, in 2007, about a dozen federal agents descended on the Evansville, Indiana office of Bernard von Nothaus. They seized 2 tons of these quote-unquote Liberty Dollar minted metal rounds that he had made, in addition to taking over $136,000 of silver from him and over $49,000 worth of gold from him and a few million dollars in other property, that's all. And in 2009, a federal grand jury brought an indictment against Mr. von Nothaus, and they arrested him on one count of, quote, conspiracy to possess and sell coins in resemblance and similitude of coins of a denomination higher than 5 cents, and silver coins in resemblance of genuine coins of the United States in denominations of $5 and greater, unquote. And in 2011, after jury deliberation, von Nothaus was found guilty on various counts of making, quote, counterfeit coins, unquote. Well, guess what happened 2 weeks ago, folks? Yes, more than 3 years after his conviction, 2 weeks ago, December 3rd, 2014, von Nothaus was finally sentenced to 6 months of house arrest. Now the question only becomes if, when von Nothaus will get back any of his millions of dollars in property that the government took from him over 7 years ago. According to the judge's order, the government gets to keep much, but not all of it. If you want to ever go look this up, this is United States of America versus Bernard von Nothaus. Criminal docket number 509CR27RLV. In the District Court for Western District of North Carolina, Statesville Division. Now, I thought Forbes Magazine did a good piece. Sometimes agree with them, sometimes we don't agree with them. But Forbes Magazine did a good piece about Mr. Bernard von Nothaus of Evansville, Indiana. And they did a piece called Protecting Us from a Terrorist Who Made Pure Silver Coins, the von Nothaus case. I'm going to read part of this story here to you, folks. We don't read a lot to you, but this is a good piece put out by George Leaf, contributor over at Forbes Magazine. He says, our Constitution sets forth and limits the government's powers. Under Article 1, Section 8, Congress is authorized to coin money and regulate the value thereof, and also to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting of the securities in current coin of the United States. Notice that no power is given for Congress to confer upon the government a monopoly in the creation of money. That matters because prior to the drafting and ratification of the Constitution, private coinage was known and accepted. It was a regular thing. It wasn't a big deal. This also was happening, as the kids would say today. Go read Private Coinage in America by Brian Summers. If the founders had thought there was something wrong in allowing money to circulate besides that produced by the federal government, they would have granted Congress power to forbid that. They did not. As with almost every aspect of life, the people were left to be free to manage their affairs, including the freedom to produce money and accept whatever medium of exchange they desired. Only counterfeiting, that is, producing fake money or securities intended to deceive recipients, was to be illegal. You see, Mr. Van Nothouse was not trying to deceive anybody. He wasn't trying to compete with the government, so per se. He wasn't producing fake money or securities. The history in this is pertinent to another of those increasingly frequent instances where the government has gone after a peaceful citizen on legally dubious grounds. Van Nothouse was producing and selling pure silver coins that he called Liberty Dollars, and I guess that was the first problem. He used the word dollar. And maybe he shouldn't have called them coins or dollars. He should have just called them rounds and pieces of exchange. I don't know. But he was arrested and charged with a violent federal criminal law, as they call it, specifically 18 U.S. Code, Section 486, prohibiting making coins intended for use as currency or money. And the prosecution's argument was that the statute gives the exclusive power to produce currency. One more thing, the government also seized, like I said earlier, $7 million worth of property. At trial, the defense argued that the, quote, Liberty Dollars could not be mistaken for any current U.S. coinage because they're not the size of any coin that the government is producing. They have different imagery, so they're not either the size, nor color, nor imagery of our current U.S. government coins. The defense argued that they could not be a substitute for current money any more than foreign coins or silver bars. But Judge Richard Voorhees, in case of any confusion there, adopted the prosecution's view of Section 486, instructing the jury that the law makes it a felony to mint coins Americans can use, even if they weren't meant to deceive, because the government has power to coin money to the exclusion of everyone else. It's a monopoly. Thus, by these twisted rulings, the jury had virtually no choice but to find the defendant guilty. And then they put out a press release after the verdict, and the U.S. Attorney's Office took a victory lap, and they pontificated that, quote, attempts to undermine the legitimate currency of this country are simply a unique form of domestic terrorism. That's what they equated what this gentleman did, terrorism. And the notion is simply laughable. Coinage is an extremely small fraction of the nation's money supply. Whenever real money was exchanged for Liberty Dollars, that money did not disappear, but it was spent in business. And most significantly, the doubt that many Americans have about the stability of our monetary system, causing them to prefer other forms of wealth that don't erode in value, long predated Mr. Van Nothouse and will continue to do so with or without his coins. And like I said earlier, although the trial was over in March of 2011, it was not until 2 weeks ago, December the 3rd, that Van Nothouse was sentenced to 6 months of house arrest, which he is serving now. At least the taxpayers will not be further burdened with pointless expenses. So will he get any of his money back, any of his property back? And maybe more importantly, is it really the law that it's a crime to produce money that could compete with the cheap coinage or Federal Reserve notes that the government produces? Judge Voorhees brushed aside the constitutional challenge to Section 486, ruling that because the Constitution prohibits the state from issuing money, that it should be inferred, not implied, but inferred, that the drafters also meant to prevent private properties from doing so. That's a complete mistaken understanding of how the Constitution works. The drafters did not intend to allow the creation of government monopolies of any kind, and certainly not in the creation of money. There being no such enumerated powers for Congress to do that, the 10th Amendment applies. Powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectfully, or to the people. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show, folks, on the My View Matters Network. Again, if you're already on the airwaves, listening to us by telephone, by telephony, press the 1 key and we'll get you on the air. Otherwise, if you want to call in and you're not listening by phone yet, call 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. And we'll be back.
impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you for sticking with us. You're listening to the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. Sorry about that. Just had to step away for a second to close the studio door there. Now back to the business at hand. We don't talk about a lot of local stuff, but there is some local news that we want to talk about today. And that is Mayor Greg Fisher. Definitely not much good news usually comes out of the mayor's office, but he is at least teasing or threatening that he is going to veto a minimum wage that our ridiculous Louisville Metro Council wants to pass through. Yes, the same Metro Council that nobody ever has any opposition to. Nobody runs against these guys, so they're allowed to keep walking in the office carte blanche and doing whatever the hell they want. We need competition there. Now, we don't agree with the mayor when he says he supports raising the minimum wage on a state or a national level. He's kind of confused, I think, because he says that increasing the wage locally must be considered in the context of job losses, since our surrounding counties will not be increasing their minimum wages. Well, guess what, Greg? Guess what, Mayor? If you did that on a state level, that would have to be considered in the context of surrounding states, would it not? If you want the state legislature to take up this issue, thank God the state senate in Kentucky is not ever going to do this. I have no idea what the pathetic state house in Kentucky would do, and Papaw Bashir, God knows what they would do. But Mayor Fisher needs to be reminded that if you pass this on a state level, then guess what? If you're in northern Kentucky, Ohio's not going to have this same law. If you're in Louisville, Indiana's not going to have the same law. Illinois wouldn't roll out because I could see their idiots doing this. If you're down in southern Kentucky on the border of Tennessee, they're not going to have that law in the volunteer state. So if you had a state minimum wage, it would hurt us because a lot more business would go to Indiana, Ohio, Virginia, maybe even West Virginia, Tennessee, Missouri. Remember, we have seven surrounding states, folks, for those who had geography in the government indoctrination camps called public schools. So on one hand, Fisher is right to be concerned about job losses in our city, and that's why he says he does not support an increase to a $10.10 per hour minimum wage, and he would veto such ordinance. So on that matter, we would have to give him a little bit of applause. But on the other hand, to sit there and act like it would be a better thing if it was done on a national or a state level is ridiculous.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus. What a maroon.
What an
Yeah, because you can't have it both ways, as Bug says there. What a maroon. Everyone talks about a living wage. Everyone wants to talk about, oh, we can't build our stuff up from our bootstraps because you're forcing people to be in poverty. We're going to try to explain this one more time. Minimum wage was not created to support a family. There are thousands of jobs in the Louisville area that start above the proposed 10-10 minimum wage. Please stop giving in to the rhetoric. And when people say, oh, well, the minimum wage was created when we had a plethora of jobs that would support a family of one income, I will say again what I've said on this show many times. The damn taxes, the regulations, the fees, the built-in costs, the invisible taxes that our friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes talks about, these things are what kill a family's income. If the government was not seizing, taking, grabbing, stealing, insert your favorite verbiage here, from the one income, you wouldn't need the second income. And guess what would happen then? There wouldn't be as many people looking for work. Forget the immigration issue for a moment. Forget about the fact that we make it hard for legal immigrants to come over and do the highly intelligent jobs that the government indoctrination camps don't train you for. Forget about all that for a moment, but just think about the fact that there are a lot of jobs out there that have to be filled. And if people could afford to stay home on one income, there'd be a lot less people competing for those jobs. And then you wouldn't have to worry about flexible schedules fitting around childcare or your government indoctrination camps. It all comes full circle, folks. It all comes full circle. Teen employment has decreased. Maybe that could be linked to the teen crime rates that we have. Some say that the reason teens are not working these minimum wage jobs is that past wage increases have pushed them out of the market. Maybe you should look at teen employment before each of the past minimum wage increases and compare that figure. But certainly nobody is forcing you to work, and certainly nobody is forcing you to work for a minimum wage. When you're in the city, that means you have the opportunity to go out and look for another job. But if you rather play victim, so be it. So be it. So again, that is a bad, bad example to give that we need a minimum wage on some sort of a state or a national level, because we do not. We need to let the market determine. We need to get the government red tape and regulations and strict laws. We need to get all that out of the way so people can make more choices, more free will choices. If they want to go work in a certain way, if they want to stay home and support their families, we need to give them the way to get around that. I don't even know if I should get started talking about this crap about Jeb Bush, thinking that he can run for president, because God knows we don't have enough Bushes and Clintons trying to run to screw up this country. God knows we need more of those. But this is what we're faced with. They are trying like hell to promote the fact that, oh, Mitt Romney is a good possible alternative again. Oh, well, what about Jeb Bush? He's a good candidate for president. No, none of these are good candidates for president. I explained to you there was one, maybe two candidates that I would even support, and we know that Rand Paul is the best of those who is out there right now. None of the other ones will do. And that doesn't mean that we are closed-minded to other candidates, but when you keep offering us the same old Bush-Clinton garbage over and over and over, people should reject it, but they hear it enough. It's like Goebbels said, you hear that lie enough over and over and over, you start to believe it. Well, he's the best we have, and they'll try to push a Mitt Romney on you, like they try to push a John McCain on you, like they try to push Krispy Kreme Chris Christie on you. And they expect you to just take whatever they ram down your throat. They don't expect you to regurgitate it. They expect you to fully swallow it. Isn't that wonderful bullshit that you're feeding us? Shit sandwich number one or shit sandwich number two? God forbid you go out and go off the board and eat something that you want to eat. It's got to be shit sandwich number one or shit sandwich number two. Well, you need to tell them you're tired of eating their shit sandwiches. Too much shit down the throat isn't good for you. But so many of them want to push Chris Christie or Jeb Bush or John McCain or Mitt Romney. The establishment love that. The establishment absolutely love it. That's what they want. They want more of the same. They don't want you to have choices. Just imagine if we didn't have the uniparty controlling everything. That's what we call the Democrats and Republicans. Just imagine if we actually had libertarians and national law candidates and constitutional candidates and Tea Party candidates. Just imagine if all those were allowed to be in the system. Just imagine if we didn't have the stupid straight party voting on the ballot. If we didn't have these party primaries, excuse me, that your tax dollars pay for, how different would the system be? We can't imagine what it would look like, because so long they've told us you got to have Coke or Pepsi, you got to have Pizza Hut or Papa John's, you got to have Chevrolet or Ford. So when Jeb Bush starts bullshitting you and says that he could be a good 2016 GOP candidate, remind him he would be another piece of shit, just like Bob Dole or John McCain or Mitt Romney, just the way the establishment GOP pricks like it. We don't need more of the same. Sorry about that rant, but I'm just telling you, we don't need more of the same. But since we're talking about the mainstream media, and since we're talking about what they try to ram down your throat, I think it's a good time to look at another piece that InfoWars put out there, which is the ultimate guide to mainstream media, how American TV works. If you navigate the opaque world of mainstream media, it can be easy to get lost in the fray. And RT, which is Russia Today, put together a roadmap to the major mainstream media players to help you see the final destination that each has in store for its viewers. Look at the American Broadcasting Company, known as ABC. They're owned by Disney. They're located out of Burbank, California. Their news division is out of New York. Their key person is George Stephanopoulos, or Snuffleupagus, or however the hell you say his name. What is he? Well, he is a longtime left-wing hack. He was a communications director for Bill Clinton back in the 92 campaign. He was the communications director. He's on Good Morning America, this big fluff, informational, educational, not entertaining, maybe, morning news show. And despite his busy workload, Stephanopoulos is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. ABC also has Brian Ross. He's one of the most controversial investigative journalists out there. For all his unceremonious reporting, he's been given the title of America's wrongest reporter, quote unquote. He had the nerve of listing mass shooters as members of a Tea Party group. He's most famous for explosive 2001 reports, which falsely linked Iraq and Saddam Hussein to anthrax attacks. Let's go over to CNN. You know them. The Time Warner Group out of Atlanta, Georgia. Good old Christine Amanpour. She's the British-Iranian presenter who's married to former U.S. Secretary of State Assistant James Rubin. Also an advisor to Hillary Clinton, a State Department spokesman during Bill Clinton's administration. Rubin also was former Senator John Kerry's senior advisor on security. And guess what? Emma Poore and Rubin, they're members of the Council of Foreign Relations. Look at old Wolf Blitzer. They somehow dubbed him the Iron Man. He is the face of CNN local coverage. The German-born Blitzer worked as an editor for the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. When he joined CNN, he got the gig as White House correspondent. He led all the way up to political anchor. Remember where in 2012 in the Iowa caucus, he went to speak to Corporal Jesse Thorson, a U.S. military veteran, an adamant supporter of Ron Paul? Thorson praised Paul, who was supposedly trailing frontrunner Mitt Romney by fewer than 200 votes. And Thorson praised Paul for his non-interventionist ideals. But just as he began to get passionate, the feed went out on their coverage. Isn't that ironic? Oh, sorry, we lost the signal, said Wolf Blitzer. And he called it a technical malfunction, which we know is a damn lie. And a lot of viewers didn't buy into the tech error excuse, and they cried censorship, which we know it was. Let's look at Barbara Starr. She was the Pentagon correspondent over CNN. Anybody remember Starr, how she had cited last year about a U.S. intelligence official wrote that several terrorist groups are, in fact, attempting to change their communications behaviors based on what they are reading about our surveillance programs? And then we don't have to tell you about PMSNBC, do we? Over there with Rachel Madcow Maddock and Morning Joe and Chris Hayes and all these effeminate people. Except for Rachel, of course. She's not effeminate. How about over at CBS, Columbia Broadcasting Network? You know, they're owned by Summer Redstone. They're out of New York. Leslie Moonves. Everybody remember Leslie Moonves? He was a former actor at entertainment. It was his focus rather than politics, which is okay. It worked out okay for Reagan. But Moonves has a family link to that world. He is the great nephew of David Ben-Gurion. Anybody heard of David Ben-Gurion? Yes, he was the first prime minister of Israel. And now his great nephew runs CBS. And you get Scott Pelley over there at CBS, the anchor and managing editor of CBS Evening News. Pelley is the one in 2010 that said Hillary Clinton doesn't let anybody work harder than her, and she's the only person in American politics with global star power. He was very partial also to Bill Clinton. Pelley's most controversial statement, however, came when he spoke of interviewing climate change deniers in the global warming piece. And he said that if we denied climate change, that was like denying the Holocaust. How about Laura Logan over there at CBS, their chief foreign correspondent, who was put on indefinite leave of absence last year after her erroneous report from Benghazi in Libya? She made a speech in which she took a strong public position, arguing that the U.S. government was misrepresenting the threat from al-Qaeda. And the statement continued that there was conflict in taking a public position of the government's handling of the situation while continuing to report on the story. Well, this year, Logan was back in the news after she was recording her story on Ebola in Liberia, failing to manage a single location shoot while being self-quarantined in a luxury hotel. You see, Bernard Goldberg was over at CBS for a while. He was over there for a long while. He was over there for 28 years. And he wrote a book called Bias, a CBS insider exposes how the media distorts the news. And the book took aim at what Goldberg viewed as an intrinsic liberal bias in the American media, though others claimed it merely pointed out how the line between editorializing and news reporting were increasingly becoming blurred. Earlier this year, CBS News investigative correspondent Cheryl Atkinson resigned in scandal. Sources told Politico that Atkinson had grown frustrated with the network's bias. And she is currently working on a book called Stonewalled, One Reporter's Fight for Truth in Obama's Washington. We could go on and on and on. Maybe we should talk about the old Fox News that the neocons love. Oh, we're not supposed to go after Fox News because we don't want to X that one, do we? Rupert Murdoch. They supposedly are this conservative political position and they're a neocon stronghold. How about 83-year-old Rupert Murdoch, Mr. Living Legend, the Australian who had a philosophy that would change with the prevailing winds? He claimed to be pro-Scottish independence personally, but his newspapers were all against it. He's fiercely Republican, supposedly, but his tabloid, The Sun, supports the British monarchy. He owns the most conservative, patriotic major TV news in America, supposedly, but is not nearly as conservative as people would think. He also owns more pornography than the Playboy folks or the Hustler folks. He's been found on more than one occasion to side with interests in Ireland, where nationalist Fianna Fáil party, and he opposed the business-friendly, pro-historic British Fine Gael, which currently holds power. Good old Bill O'Reilly, the little leprechaun, the face of Fox News. He had this, quote, no-nonsense, working-class Irish Catholic image, which was complete BS. He claimed to be an independent and above the fray, blah, blah, blah. But what about 2010 when O'Reilly accused the ACLU of being part of Al-Qaeda? Why? Because the ACLU filed a suit saying that American citizens accused of terrorism were being denied due process by being killed in the Predator drone strikes before they had been convicted of any crime. How about when O'Reilly made the 911 attacks his own pet cause, often invoking his self-righteous anger, even to those who had actually lost family in the attacks, because they simply differed with him on policy, so he would attack them? February of last year, Jeremy Glick came on his show. Glick was the son of a Port Authority worker who died in the 9/11 attacks, but he publicly opposed the invasion of Afghanistan. When the invited guest, son of 9/11 victim Jeremy Glick, came on the O'Reilly show and accused O'Reilly of evoking sympathy of the 9/11 victims to advance his political agenda, O'Reilly became livid and threw a tantrum and told him to shut his mouth. O'Reilly said, if I could have whacked him, I would have. And it goes on and on, folks. Roger Ailes, the president of Fox News, in the bed with the Bush family, keeping in tone with his network. He called NPR a bunch of Nazis when they fired Juan Williams. Ailes would later apologize for his comments. Perhaps it's better to leave the incendiary comments to his TV personalities. You see, many Fox hosts admit that the station is biased towards the Republican Party, but the network denies it. During the Iraq War, Fox was accused of underplaying bad news stories about our involvement in the conflict. And we don't have time to go into all of them, folks. NBC Universal, owned by Comcast in New York. Brian Roberts, Deborah Turnus, Lawrence O'Donnell, over there in PMSNBC. Goes on and on and on, folks. At the end of the day, it's very simple that many of us do not believe that we were made for making wars. Only a few people among us are either chicken hawks or neocons enough to think that we were made for war. It is simple, folks. Get involved with something other than the mainstream press. Yes, the trolls are going to spy on you. Yes, the trolls are going to want to kill you and make you sick to your stomach with their soft kill methods. But don't listen to what they're telling you in the mainstream. Who rules America? We know who rules America. We've seen the connections. Some of them are globalists. Some of them are kosher. I know we're not supposed to say that. Some people don't want us to tell you that Fox News is the voice of the police state and that Bill O'Reilly, the little leprechaun, needs to shut the hell up themselves. But remember, folks, the mainstream media are pushing junk food media on you. They are elegant provocateurs. and they're about as relevant as soiled toilet paper. They're nothing but loud, obtuse Cartoon Network knockoffs. They got their little acid trip-based reality going on, and they have no clue. They have no moral code of honor, kind of like their masters. Look at the ones who are pulling the strings on the puppets. Look at the marionettes. Look who they're holding the puppets. Folks, when you watch the mainstream media and they report about these celebrities, none of whom I give a damn about, and they tell you that McDonald's changing their menu is news, or what Chris Christie did, or what some asshole Kardashian did, or what happened on television's reality shows and singing and dancing, all this crap. They don't want you to know what's going on in the real world. I know some people don't like it that RT was behind this and they think they're like the Russian CNN, but come on, folks. It isn't like you can bank on one media news outlet to tell you the truth. This is why we tell you to get away from the junk food media. This is why you need groups like My View Matters. This is why folks need to pay attention to groups like InfoWars and Ben Swan and Russia Today and Reason Magazine. Because you're not getting the truth from the mainstream. We ask you to listen to all the shows on this network Sunday through Thursday night. Here on the My View Matters radio network, because they're not telling you what you need to hear. They're telling you what they want you to hear. And this is why you don't hear about Fun Not House over there. You don't hear about The Ultimate Guide to the Mainstream. You don't hear about the movie Citizen 4. Keep in touch with the liberty-minded outlets and stand up and say death to the New World Order. Thank you very much, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.